Hi, I'm Katie. I'm an addict. Okay. First, I was very honored to be asked to speak here. And then whenever they were asking me what topic I wanted to speak on, you know, and I seen my will or God's will, I think that was the biggest thing that I struggled with, you know, when I first got clean, was understanding, you know, a higher power for myself and becoming reliant on that higher power. I was raised in a family that was Catholic, and I seen a lot of the word religion and empty religion most of my life, and I didn't understand the, you know, perception or concept of spirituality. You know, I didn't understand fellowship and people helping each other, and all is one and for one purpose, and principles before personalities, and all those things in life. And I had started going to church and, you know, trying to seek it for myself, but it was through the 12 steps that I became reliant on a higher power of my understanding and able to understand that I needed to surrender my will and live God's will. And it took time to understand to the extent that needed to go to. And that in every single thing that I chose to do, I needed to seek God's will, not mine, in every aspect of my life. Not just whenever it came to staying clean, but when it came to being a mother to my children, the job that I was going to choose to work, the life that I wanted to live, the friends that I wanted to have, the places I wanted to go. You know, step three, you know, I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood Him. And I choose to do that every single morning when I wake up. Sometimes I have to repeat it a few times during the day, right? Because, you know, when I drive the bus, I take it off cliffs, and sometimes I need to sit in the passenger seat. But, you know, God has a funny way of reminding me of that. Whenever I get into that driver's seat, you know, I start hitting curbs, and, you know, I can't get a straight line for nothing, and everything I try to do fails, and then I lose my serenity, and I'm getting angry, I'm getting hungry, I'm getting lonely, and I'm getting tired, and I got to realize that I got to surrender it and turn it over again. And there are days that, you know, I want to act out on the way that I feel and the emotions that I have, and I want to tell people, you know, especially my children, you know, what they need to do and how they need to do it. And, you know, I need to realize that nobody could change me and nobody could stop me from doing what I did. You know, that I have to seek God and I have to allow God to change those other people in His time and not mine. And that the best thing that I can do for them is to let them see what God can do in my life whenever I live His will and not mine. And every single thing that I have done since I got clean, if you would have asked me, you know, when I first got clean, if I'd be doing what I'm doing today, I would have told you you were out of your mind, crazy, it wouldn't happen, wasn't me, wasn't possible, you know. And honestly, simply by praying for His will and not mine, He's opened doors and let me walk through them that were an impossibility. You know, I work at a facility where I'm the first person to ever work there on probation and parole. And they were like, we've never had anybody work here on probation. And I'm like, well, okay, you know. And the other dude's like freaking out. And he's like, you've gone through all this training and you've done all this stuff. And if they do that to you, and I was like, listen, if God wants you there, He's going to open the doors. You know, they call me that night. So I'm the first person to ever work there on probation and parole. You know, I mean, that's the way that we do it. We show them that we do recover, just like that reading that we had. You know, I don't think that there's anything that can stand in our way as long as we do consciously allow God to work in our lives. And it's not always easy. You know, it's not like it's the first thing that I'm thinking of. You know, I mean, I'll stew for a minute, and then I'm like, okay, God, direct my thinking, you know, divorce me from anger. And I'm pretty amazed standing here today. You know, at the end of my road, you know, I think the biggest thing I said when I got clean that I was never suicidal. And the more and more that I've gone through, you know, my steps and, you know, process the things that I've done, I realized that that's what I lived. You know, I was at the end of my rope whenever I got clean, that there was only two ways I was going. It was whether it was handcuffs or a body bag. And, you know, thank you God it was handcuffs. So, you know, I stand here today, and when I came in, I had absolutely nothing. I'd lost everything in the bankruptcy of every form possible. Any word you want to choose, I didn't have it. And through working the steps and just turning my will over every single day, I've gotten every single thing. You know, I've gotten custody of my kids back. You know, I got a job. I sponsor girls. I have a sponsor. I love my life. I have a fellowship in my life today that they care whether I'm alive or dead. You know, my perception of what a God was and what Will was and what a fellowship was, you know, it was watching everybody in the rooms when I came in, seeing them share their experience, strength, and hope. You know, they talk about attraction, not promotion. Whenever they're, you know, in there sharing about the things that they've gone through or, you know, hearing the people sitting there and they're like, well, yeah, you know, I went to court and I got custody of my kids back. And, you know, you just hear all these wonderful things that are happening. You can't help but sit there and think, you know, how'd they do that, right? I want to know how he did that. And I found my sponsor because she was complaining and yelling and screaming because they got this house and they're trying to do this, you know, HUD stuff and give back. And she's freaking out, screaming, you know, because the house burnt down and the marshals are trying to accuse them of arson. And, you know, but she finishes and she goes, but I'm grateful. You know, I'm grateful I'm alive today. I'm grateful I'm clean. And she goes down the line and I'm like, that's what I want. I want to be able to go through any situation in my life and be grateful and realize that if I'm living God's will, nothing that happened in my life is by mistake or by accident, and even the bad things. You know, I can't see it when I go into a situation and it's hard and I struggle and I seek a lot of counsel on it when I do go through it. But every single time I come out on the other end better than what I was before. And I can't see that when I'm going through it. But that falls into acceptance. If I'm honestly asking God for His will in my life and not mine, that means that I need to accept every single thing that He gives me, good or bad. You know, and I've gone through tons of physical things since I've been clean. I'm getting smoked out here, sorry. Yeah, he says stop. physical things, things with my children, with my families, falsely accused of federal charges. I mean, you name it, you know, I've gone through it. And with the help of this fellowship and the 12 steps, I haven't had to pick up. And that's absolutely amazing because if I would have gone through a quarter of what I've gone through before, I probably wouldn't even be standing here. But simply by, you know, asking for His direction and what I'm supposed to do in the situation, because if I would have taken control of it, you know, I definitely wouldn't be here today. You know, I have to ask Him consistently what He wants me to do in my life, where He wants me to go. You know, I mean, as far as, you know, my classes and my mom, and which is, you know, a struggle every day dealing with people, well, my mother, I love her, but, you know, people who are still spiritually sick. You know, and they don't understand, you know, the importance of a 12-step fellowship in somebody's life. And they just think that, you know, we should be able to stop. And as I said, I was raised, you know, in the Catholic home. So my conception of God and hers are very different. You know, and that's the beauty of this, is that I don't have to have her conception of God. You know, I don't have to have yours. I have mine. It's a, you know, reliance on the power of my understanding. And as long as I know that I'm seeking His will and I'm doing what He wants me to do, I can lay my head down at night and sleep, and I don't have to worry about what anybody else thinks, says, or does. You know, and that's not always easy whenever you're having it, you know, thrown in your face on a daily basis. Whenever I made the decision to turn my will and my life over, I realized that, you know, this God was doing things for me that I couldn't do for myself long before I became aware of it. Whenever I was in active addiction, you know, I was in and out of jail most of my adult life. And I was in, well, it was about 7 years ago, and my brother died in a car accident. And I got out of jail, and, you know, I went right back to what I was doing. And I was back in jail 3 weeks later, and I was there for like 7 months. And I got out, and I was out for a while. I'd actually completed, you know, probation. And then one day, one time, one place, I was back out there, and it was worse than it ever was before. So I was out of jail for like, you know, 4 years, and I go back probably with the worst charges that I ever had and facing, you know, state time. And 3 weeks after I went in, my dad died. So then I'm like, okay, you know, that many years apart and I'm in jail and two of the most important people in my life die. You know, there had to be somebody trying to tell me something. And I honestly sought God at that point only because I was angry at God. And I wanted to tell God how I felt. You know, so I felt like I had to go to church to give him a piece of my mind. You know, and now through working the steps, I can realize that he was doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. Because if I wouldn't have been in a jail cell when those things happened, I don't even want to think about where I would have went. Because the emotional turmoil that I had inside, you know, if I would have been out on the street, it would have been very bad. And that's what I got through working the steps, was realizing that he was working in my life before I even, you know, asked him to be in there and doing the things for me. He was taking care of me. It was me that was standing in the way of, you know, asking for a little bit of direction and then accepting it. And it's not like every single time, you know, I'm like, God, allow me to live your will and not mine. I understand it, nor do I agree with it, nor do I want to do it some of the times. You know, I'm like, really? Like, whenever I got custody of my kids back, I chose to move into my mom. And my sponsor's like, she's a direct threat to your clean time. And I'm like, she's a direct threat? You know, my mom doesn't use, all right? And she's like, yeah, she affects your spiritual fitness. And I'm like, okay, well, I really felt like God was telling me to move there. So I'm like, all right. I'm like, you know, I guess God's got jokes. But, you know, I did move in there, and I am there, and, you know, I couldn't understand it for months. Like I was saying, hindsight's 20/20, like, you know, why do you want me here, God? Why is this where you would put me? You know, every day it's like, you know, I try to keep my spiritual fitness, and then, you know, you get beat, and you get beat down, you know, and it's like, why would you want me here? And about 4 months after I was there, she goes in for surgery. Just routine, getting her gallbladder out, and they open her up, and she's corroded with cirrhosis of the liver, you know, and they close her up, and so she's very sick and dying. And, you know, on that day, I realized why God put me there. You know, I couldn't see it when he was doing it, but obviously that's why he wanted me there, because if I wasn't there, he was going to be there. And it's because of this fellowship, you know, I'm clean, and I can be the one that's there. You know, I can be the one there to help take care of her and, you know, to talk to the doctors and to make sure she's okay. And I wouldn't have had that before. You know, I'd have been gone out of that, or I'd have been still on her medication, or, you know, whatever else would have came about. And I, so now I've learned, you know, through the process of questioning consistently what God's doing, as to just accepting it and going with the flow, knowing that, you know, as long as I am seeking it in everything I do, I'm going to be just fine. You know, as long as I honestly accept whatever he gives me. And by that, I mean whatever. You know, I had to, my oldest daughter suffers from a lot of depression, and I had to institutionalize her this summer. And I had a very hard time, you know, understanding that and going through that, and I just felt like I was in this storm, and every corner I turned, there was something else going on. You know, I'm going to school, I'm working, single mom with two kids, going to meetings, you know, staying clean, doing everything, and, you know, here I am putting her in, going to visit her every night. Well, you know, I've been trying to allow my daughter to understand the concept of spirituality and having a God in her life and the benefits and advantages of it. But, you know, she can't hear that from me, and that's okay. You know, I probably couldn't have heard it from my mom, right? It took Narcotics Anonymous to show me. So, from her going in there, actually, my pastor, you know, got to go in with his wife and speak to her. So, you know, hindsight 2020 once again, now she's beginning to develop some type of faith. You know, and whenever I was going through that situation, you know, I couldn't see what God was doing. I couldn't see why he would be doing this, why he would be putting her there. You know, I don't want to live, you know, with fear in my life, and faith is the opposite of fear. You know, but it's really hard not to have fear whenever your child expresses suicidal tendencies and you wake up every morning, you know, praying that you're going to open that door and they're breathing. You know, I mean, you wonder why sometimes you go through things, but I believe that we become stronger because of what we go through. And I have a relationship with my children and my family today that I didn't have. Like, when I came home, I had nothing. Nothing and no one. My brother wouldn't talk to me. My mother wouldn't talk to me. You know, my brother had died and my father had died, and they had buried them, and I wasn't there. You know, and that I should have been the one that was in the ground and not them, is what I was told. And today, you know, I'm the one that they come to for answers to questions. I'm the one that they, you know, seek spiritual guidance from, which absolutely blows my mind. You know, completely transformed. I mean, I just, when I think about the fact that they didn't even want to speak at me, let alone look at me, and today they ask me, what would you do in this situation? You know, I'm like, well, first thing first, you pray about it. You know, because I consistently, you know, tell every girl that I talk to, like, don't forget, like, you have prayer. You know, you have a God in your life. 24/7. 24/7 you can ask for help. You can seek God's will in your life. You know, and it's like I said, sometimes when I get into the situation, you know, you forget that it is that easy. You know, like every time before I speak, I'm like, please God, remove my fears. You know, and I have to ask him to do that probably about 25 times. I woke up a little bit early to sit outside and ask it, you know. And I'm not shaking, so I think I'm all right. But, you know, and my sponsor told me I'm not allowed to, you know, unless, like, there's other things going on. But when somebody asks me to speak, you know, I accept it because I share my experience, strength, and hope. And I shouldn't turn those things down. And I, you know, every time I speak, I feel like I go through, like, the worst week of my life before it. I don't know if anybody else experiences that. But it's like, you know, what can go wrong will go wrong. And then it's like you look at the calendar and you're like, oh, that's right, man. I'm speaking this weekend. All right, I understand what's going on. You know, it's because, I mean, this fellowship is powerful. You know, we were talking yesterday about the convention, about how it's supposed to be the biggest one ever. You know, we just keep getting bigger and bigger. And, I mean, as long as I keep living God's will in my life and I keep sharing openly and honestly and I'm willing to, you know, continue to go to meetings and do all the things that God wants me to do in my life, you know, I get to meet some awesome, wonderful people. And I have, you know, at my disposal, I don't even know how many phone numbers I have in my phone. I'm actually concerned as whether it's going to be able to hold the rest. You know? But I do, and every night when I lay down, you know, I thank God for helping me stay clean for another day. Because it was through him that I did it, and that's what I say all the time. And some people argue with me, and they're like, you know, you're given free will. I said, well, yeah, I know I'm given free will. I said, but through my 12 steps, I made a decision to turn my will over and my life. So that free will doesn't exist for me today. And if it existed for me today, I wouldn't be standing here clean. And that's why I said that's step three for me every day, you know. And then, 11, thought through prayer and meditation to improve my conscious contact with God and my understanding. Praying only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. Because that's all I need. I need his power. You know, I need him to give me the strength because that's where I get it from. So there's days that I'm tired. There's days that I'm angry. You know, and I have to ask him to take that. And I have to ask him to give me the ability to do what he wants me to do. So for me, free will isn't an option. And that's because of the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, which I'm grateful for. Am I? All right. You guys want me to dance? Huh? All right. I know, I really do. I love this topic because whenever I, you know, whenever I had, like I said, my perception and conception of a God growing up, you know, I never seen anybody, you know, live that or do that or practice that. You know, I didn't understand the power of prayer in your life. I understood, you know, scripted prayer. You know, I didn't understand that I could talk to, you know, the higher power of my understanding just like I talked to you. You know, and that I was allowed to question situations, and I was allowed to ask, like, you know, really? You know, like, really? And I say that a lot. Whenever, you know, I get the answers to the things, you know, that I ask about, I'm like, really? Okay. You know, because it's always, always not what I would do. You know, and I'm grateful for that today, though, because I get to be a mother that, you know, my children get to look at and look up to today. And I wasn't that for a very long time. And I get to be a sister who, you know, is there to help through situations. And, you know, my brother just got married, and I got to be a part of that. You know, and that's because of this. If I wouldn't have this in my life, I wouldn't have been there. I probably wouldn't even have been invited. I wouldn't have been anywhere. You know, I got the ability to be able to handle any situation and any person that I come in contact with who, you know, I find unacceptable, which is a lot. You know, I get to take a loving view of them, and I get to look at them through God's eyes today and not mine. You know, and that's, I use that consistently on a daily basis. Like, He loves them just as much as He loves me. So why do I have the right to be angry at any other person for things that they do when I stand here, you know, working the 12 steps and making amends for my wrongs and being able to keep my side of the street clean and not have to pick up? I'm not, doesn't give me any right to throw things at other people doing their thing. And I was just very amazed and grateful to be able to come here and speak today and to be able to share a little bit of my experience, strength, and hope. And I make an effort every day, you know, to carry the message to the next suffering addict. Not always, you know, I'm blessed where I work because I do work where I get to, you know, practice recovery all day long. But I really think that that was, once again, God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself, knowing that, you know, I'm a single mom with two kids and all these things, and He made sure that my recovery was going to come first because I had no clue how I was supposed to be. You know, how am I going to support my kids and do all these things? And, you know, most of my jobs I've worked in unhealthy places for recovery. And, you know, like I said, all I did was ask for His will and put one foot in front of the other. And every single thing that has happened in my life has been a direct result of that. I haven't had to, you know, I mean, granted, I had to get the strength and do it, but a lot of it came with it. You know, He opened the doors, I just chose to walk through them. You know, and every day I get to wake up, go to work, you know, talk about the fellowship, you know, help solve problems, do those things, you know, and I get to go home and be a mom to my kids, and I get to lay my head down at night, knowing I didn't pick up today, and I didn't harm anybody, I didn't steal anything, I didn't lie to anyone, which is amazing for my kids to get 2 seconds without telling a lie. That was the best thing in the beginning. Please, God, help me be honest, you know, and I'd lie just to lie. You know, that wasn't even true. There wasn't even any benefit from doing it. You know, but I do. I teach it in everything that I do. And I want to thank you guys for allowing me to speak and be here.
Excellent.